So picture this. It's your wedding night. The evening's wrapping up. You're going back to your honeymoon suite and all set for a night of romance. And suddenly there's a knock on the door.
Honey, it's Mom. I don't think you're doing that right.
When Mom becomes your next door neighbor on your wedding nights.
Boy.
My. Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of our program. And be sure to check out our channel there on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe, get the show commercial free, and also get advanced episodes of the show, the whole archive, all of it ad free, just waiting and ready for you to binge away on right now on Apple Podcasts on our channel. And of course, your support helps keep this program on the air. Also giving you a chance at a $500 Amazon gift card before the holidays, right?
All you have to do is review our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and take a screenshot of that review, send it to contest@crazyfampod.com. And you might have a chance to win a $500 gift card to use however you want. Doesn't matter what your family wants you to do with your money. You get to spend it however you want. We don't care.
You can even rub it in their face too. Be like, look what I just got. And you said I couldn't have that. I've always wanted this electric cat shaver and juicer. It's a 2-in-1 where you can shave your cat with it. And you can also get some fresh orange juice. Same sort of filter it runs through. It's great.
So you might have a lot of cat hair in it, though.
Well, you got to wash it. I mean, it's like you do anything. You wash it, make sure it's real clean. Eat a little extra dander in your juice then, and it helps make you immune to cat allergies. So,
you don't need allergy shots.
No, it's all about just making juice with your cat shaver.
Okay. Twisted and weird, but you know what? You can buy whatever you want, and anything is available on Amazon. So
yep.
Make sure you do that, and maybe you'll have a cat shaver juicer.
A cat juicer. Yep. Cat juicer. Okay. It's a new thing this year. Ninja makes it.
I could see that.
I was like, I go through the aisle all the time, like, what's new from Ninja this week? So, all right.
You know, can you imagine being in their boardroom when they're coming up with ideas? Because it's got to be something bizarre every time they meet.
Although lately, I feel it's like, how can we repackage the same product again this year and make people want to buy the newer version?
That's a really good idea. Like, they'll make it in different colors instead of that standard black.
Let's say heat instead of cook. And let's just change words up. It's still the same shit. It's just, we're going to put it a little bit different and we're going to make it look a little more like a spacecraft.
But you know what? They work really well.
Alexa enabled. That could be the next thing to have it. And I shouldn't have said that out loud, but
no kidding.
Something of that nature. Okay, let's jump into our first crazy family story of the week.
Yeah, this is a really good one. So I am a 26-year-old female, and I'm getting married in August of next year. I wanted to be prepared for the potential wedding boom that could happen in my country next year, and I booked everything already now, so I don't have to stress over the details later. Not sure what country we're talking about. Doesn't really matter. My father gifted me and my future husband a suite to stay in during the wedding at one of the finest hotels in my town. When my mom found out that we got a suite from my dad, she booked two suites in the same hotel for her, my stepdad, and my brother. She made a big deal that I and my hubby picked out our suite first so she wouldn't reserve that suite by mistake. My parents have been divorced for 23 years and have been doing petty things like this to one-up each other my whole life, so this is nothing new, and I'm just shaking it off and continuing on with my life. Well, yesterday, Mom called me and wanted to tell me they are so service-oriented. They said it wouldn't be a problem to book her suite right next to you and hubby's suite. And quite honestly, I was a bit dumbfounded when I heard that. I don't know if I'm oversensitive or being unreasonable, but if there's one thing I don't want, it's spending my wedding night with my mom in the next room. What?
You think?
Oh my God.
I can't imagine it being a comfortable moment. Although I gotta say, after your wedding night, a lot of times you're just fucking exhausted. And it was like, oh, are you gonna go do it? Like, chances are it's not like it's the first time and you may just want to go to bed.
Well, exactly. There is a little bit of extra information after this story too. It says the hotel cannot move my mom because my mom booked exactly that specific room. And the receptionist said the room was available on that date. They did not release my information to her. My mom knew exactly which room I'd be staying in and which date. So she didn't have to say, can I have the room next to my daughter? She just needed to say, can I have room A, which is next to room B? I don't want to change hotels. It's one of the most romantic ones in the city I live in. And I don't want to let my mom chase me away from this. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
There's a lot to unpack with this story. Mom has got some serious issues.
She specifically picked that room because it was there.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, oh, shoot. I get it. Like if you're the suites are all together or something and it's like, well, I guess this happened. Why?
You know, and when people book rooms at hotels and things, especially if you're with like a certain wedding or, you know, they have a block of rooms.
Yeah.
So they're all like next to each other.
Yeah.
I could see that happening, but I would also think, wouldn't the hotel not want to put the bride and groom anywhere near those people?
You would think.
Huh.
But I mean, again, I mean, that would be a bridge too far for a lot of folks working at a front desk anywhere. It used to be, previously be a consideration, but when you consider, you know, the quality of work that we see out there right now, I could see that being easily overlooked or not even thought of or considered or just thought of, but like, fuck it, that's an extra keystroke.
Yeah, you might be right about that. And, you know, is it something that's just kind of crept up in the last couple of years? Probably. You know, they're not thinking like, wait a minute, this woman has the same last name as the bride. Let's not put them next to each other, you know?
And that wasn't the case, though. The mom specifically wanted that room.
Yeah.
That makes it even weirder.
Of therapy.
And it's, I mean, I get like if she's going to be doing shit to her ex-husband or something, like I could see that, like that makes sense. But why do this to your own daughter? That's the weird part. It seems like there's more that we don't know about that relationship than this letter. Because it seems like a very passive aggressive move. I mean, there could be nothing. She could just be a narcissist, or there could be more to the relationship that's not being said that would make the mom be like kind of a fuck you in the back of her mind by doing that.
There's a lot going on there though, that you would want to stick it to your ex so badly that you would fuck with your daughter like that.
Oh yeah.
That's next level narcissism.
Completely.
In my book.
Yeah. And then I'm imagining what would end up happening is he accused them or say something or just bring it up lightly. Oh, that's not what I meant for it to be or to do, or, you know, it'll be completely brushed away. And if you continue to talk about it, it's like you're fucking crazy.
Yeah. Can you? I want to be a fly on the wall for this discussion. How is this going to end?
But do you ever bring it up? Because what's the point? What does it do? What does it truly accomplish other than make things more awkward? And people who do this sort of shit, you're not going to train them not to. You're not going to discipline them. You're not going to get a boundary up that they're going to honor. It's as good as they're like a restraining order. I mean, and what that means is, you know, if they're, because we were talking, you know, like restraining orders don't do shit. They don't. The only thing that does something is then if they do bust that person within the confines of where they're not supposed to be with you, they have the right to arrest them. Without that, that's not going to be an option. So it's interesting to see what would actually happen here if you sit down with mom and say, you know, about that night, that's just how they got us the room. That's what it was.
I think what you do is you get mom... You put mom at arm's length.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Without having even dealing with the discussion of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just don't see where that would go other than just making everyone uncomfortable. Because you're not going to get that. You're right, honey. I was being very selfish and I thought I would try and ruin your wedding night by getting the room next to you, because I know that's uncomfortable and inappropriate. And I thought, in the heat of that second, I'm going to do that. Even though that's damn well what she was thinking. But she also thought, I will never be confronted on this and no one will ever know the wiser. And here's my excuse right away. They just gave me that room and then it's over and you can't prove it.
Yeah, but, you know, the daughter knows now that that's the room.
Yeah.
I feel like if she wants to gain some control and power back, she needs to confront mom about it and say, you need to book a different room. There's many different rooms in this hotel.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be this one?
Well, after the fact, yeah. But I mean, what are you going to get? Why this one? Because I wanted to ruin your wedding night. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get that sort of reaction.
Yeah, but I want that kind of reaction. I really do.
They just buckle.
I want to see how this one pans out.
Those people, they just buckle. They run away. They become even weirder. They make everything weird for everything to come when you call them out on their shit. And that's a weird thing with a lot of narcissists. Once you really do call them out on their shit repeatedly, they know. They don't like that. They don't like other people knowing their ways of doing things. And that can make things even weirder, quite honestly, I think, in some cases, than just kind of, you know, keeping them at arm's length, you know, smiling and just like, oh, okay, I'll see you later, you know, and let them think that they're doing their little deeds versus let's make everything awkward, especially if you're going to have a relationship there. I don't know. I'm just to each their own and how they want to handle it.
Is it better to just, you know, shrug and you look at your future husband and go, well, welcome to the family. This is what we're going to have to deal with.
I think sometimes it is, quite honestly. I used to be very reactionary to everything and I would be the first to call everything out and try and make things, you know, the way they should be, a very justice oriented mindset. But you know, I think with age, I've just there's some things that aren't worth it. There's some things that you're not going to get justified or fixed or be the way you want, no matter how right it is. And you just got to say, fuck it. You know, this one's not worth my fight. This is not worth the battle. But, you know, maybe to some it is. With me, I've just learned to shut up a lot of times, not because of fear, but just because it's not worth the emotional miles that I want to put on my brain to deal with somebody else's bullshit.
Yeah, totally. I can see that. I really can.
Because even if I'm in the right and I'm calling it out, it's going to bug me for fucking ever. Did I say that the right way? I hope it didn't ruin this. You know, maybe my mind will go 50 different ways if I keep letting it and letting the anxiety of all that continue to ride me. It's much easier just to say, not worth my time. It's not worth it.
Boy, that's a lot, isn't it?
It is. It's hard to do that, but I've found more peace in life doing that than being the justice police.
Nope, very smart. Our next story, it says, buckle in. This one's crazy. Well, good. It fits right in with the rest of them.
Yeah.
The story goes, years ago, when me and my sister were teenagers, we'd been left home alone when my dad was a single father who would work swing shifts and even graveyard shifts. We were unsupervised for the most part. Sometimes we go to our grandparents while my dad worked. Well, one day when me and my sister were home alone, she was listening to Eminem, the controversial rapper. Needless to say, our dad didn't want us listening to that kind of music. Well, me not thinking things through, I blurted out to my sister, "Turn it down, Dad's home." It was at that part that my dad came through the door and heard me say that. He asked, "Turn what down?" Well, the snitching began. I told my dad that she's listening to Eminem. He got angry with her and he grounded her. My sister then got angry at me and then she ratted me out. I'll explain what she did. She then proceeded to tell my dad how I took a bath with a girl around my age at my grandparents' house while they were away. I had access to their house because they gave me the key. In a panic, I then retorted back to my dad, "Well, she has a bunch of condoms that somebody gave her." Whoops. Now to clarify some things, the neighbor kid across the street was older than us and he was in high school. So a few weeks prior to this, we were in his backyard playing truth or dare with this kid. It was a tame game of it with my sister being there and all. Yet this is how she found out about the bath with the girl. You see, she and I were Mormons, and I met this girl at church. So we did it cleanish. We had the lights out, so we didn't do anything risque. Well, my dad pulled the ever classic, "I'm not angry with you guys, but I am disappointed." After that, we weren't to be trusted anymore on our own for a while. Also, my dad seemed more concerned about the condoms and where my sister got them. He tried to grill her for more info, but she refused and gave in, or she refused to give in. I think it was her boyfriend that gave them to her, to be honest. Well, that's all for now, and I'll write more soon. Crazy story, I think.
So they did it. I love it with magic underwear and all that. I love the Mormon story. It's so entertaining.
Isn't it though? I know about the magic underwear. I've heard about that.
Oh, it's an entertaining. And the tablets, and is it Joseph Smith that,
yes.
Yep. That walked around, and then I don't know, just to believe that fairy tale. I don't know. So the two girls, do we have any, they were what, teenagers, I'm guessing?
That's what I'm guessing. Okay. It didn't really say.
Yeah. So they had.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. It did. It said teenagers.
Okay. And this is a girl. Was it two girls in the bathtub together? Or was it a guy and a girl?
No, I think I'm fairly sure it was a male and a female.
Okay. Okay.
I think.
Okay. For whatever reason, I was picturing this letter coming in from a woman, but okay, so
well,
I get.
Of course, you would.
Well, not because of that. I thought at the beginning it was a girl.
Wait a minute. Let me look. No, it doesn't really say.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know. Because I just didn't know if it was a situation where it was a boy and a girl, or a girl and a girl that were, you know. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but don't girls and stuff like. That's not that uncommon if you're just going to take a quick shower together after going to the beach or something. And it's not anything sexual. It's just if there's one, get it done and get out. Is that?
I can't say I ever did that.
No.
No.
Okay. I don't know. I guess I don't know. My thought would be that, well, that's really not sexual or bad if it's just two girls, you know, getting ready together. But if it's a boy and a girl, I see where there's the concern. But how are they? They're defining this as we did it, like somewhat like Mormonly okay, where they
cleanish
had, they
is
had
what it was
cleanish,
termed.
Cleanish, yes, where the lights are off and they didn't. Then why are you even doing that? Why are you even together in this situation?
If you can't see it, it didn't happen, right?
Is that the thinking? I mean, if you're that, why are you even doing it? If it's like, oh, I'm gonna go on the roller coaster over here, but I'm not gonna get in the car. Like, well, that's the roller coaster. You kind of have to. Well, I'm just gonna stand here on the platform. Well, you're not going on the roller coaster then. Like, why did you even walk all those stairs up here to the top of the roller coaster if you're not gonna go?
Doesn't count that way, right?
I don't know. I guess not. I guess if it's in the dark and you don't see anything, I guess it's fair game. And then
it's a weird little ride that they, you know, they wander the line of crossing too far. As long as they don't cross it, they're not in trouble, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I know there's a lot of wacky sects, sects with a T, S-E-C-T-S, of Mormonism, where this is where you get a lot of cultish type behavior going on. Chad and Lori Daybell were kind of like, he invented his own sect of Mormonism. He didn't even call it that. And look where they ended up, you know, where they buried their kids in their backyard and thought they were zombies. Warren Jeffs, did the same sort of thing. And it's a fundamentalist. I mean, if you have any religion, you have a fundamentalist sect of it for the most part. And then you start getting weird shit like that going on. But I think like down to the, it's kind of at the base, it's kind of wacky. You're the one who has the degree in religion.
I know. And it doesn't really help me much in this regard because, I really only dealt with Christianity, Judaism, and, Islam, and these other sects of religion. are so far removed.
But isn't
the core
Mormon is essentially Christianity, though, isn't it? It's just they have a lot of more weird rules and such, and they have the guy that went around the country with the golden tablets and shit.
Yeah, and that's where things change. Mormons believe that Jesus, like, paid for the sins of the world, and atonement is the only way that they can be saved.
Okay,
so they accept that Christ's atonement came through faith and formal covenants and things like baptism, but it's I feel like they do veer offline a little bit, if you will.
Is you know, Joseph Smith is the prophet, as they refer to him, but is he prayed to in the Mormon religion, or is he just like, you know, like essentially like a disciple? You wouldn't necessarily.
I think he's more of a disciple. I could be wrong about that. The Mormons that I've known, but he is a prophet. So do they pray to him? Not necessarily, but they do follow the things that he laid out.
Okay.
it's really complicated to me.
I'm on the Wikipedia page for Mormonism.
And correct me if I'm wrong. It's been many years since I've dug into that.
Yeah. I honestly don't know the answer to it. Cause in Catholicism, you pray to saints sometimes.
Correct. Yep.
So I guess it's not that far of an off thing, if that's how that went. I don't know. I gotta read this is supposed to be an interesting one to go through and try and understand better. Anyway, let's go to our next story. We've gone off on a tangent on Mormonism and polygamy,
as we often
which yeah. I should say this, in the current Mormon church, that is not they've said that that's bad now, and that's not part of their thing unless you're in one of these other groups.
It's hard to keep track. It's always changing.
Can't decide if you know that you can have multiple wives or not. It's a hard one to keep up with.
Well, you know, it's a tax write-off.
It is.
Anywho. All right. Well, my story is about my aunt, mom, and grandmother, all from the same side of my family. My mom and I had a hard relationship. She abandoned me when I was young, so I did not see her for 17 years. While my mom was MIA, I always maintained a relationship with my grandmother and my aunt. They were always very good and loving towards me. When I became a mother at the age of 26, my mom and I reunited and had a good relationship for about 2 years. Then it went to shit. That's a story for a different day. And sadly, my mom died in 2019. Through it all, my grandmother and aunt were always loving and supportive toward me. One day, my grandmother told me she wrote my mom out of her will and that I would take her place. I didn't think much of it because her finances are not any of my business. People get weird about money, and I don't think anything to do with that dark side of things. Although grateful, my grandmother and I really didn't talk much about it after that. Well, sadly, my grandmother died last fall at the beautiful age of 92. She had a wonderfully long life, and I am so grateful that she got to see my daughter and her, which is her great-granddaughter, grow into a young teen. The day that she died, my aunt was with her at her home and called me at 6:30 in the morning. I knew something was wrong. When I said hello, my aunt said, "My grandma died." My aunt was at the house waiting for the coroner to arrive and was handling all of the paperwork. Shortly thereafter, I drove to the house because I just didn't feel right about my aunt having to deal with all of that stuff by herself. As soon as I got there, I hugged my aunt and I said, "You took such good care of her," because she did. My aunt and uncle took great care of their mom. A little bit later, my aunt pulled out my grandmother's will and read it to me. That's where I learned that my grandmother left me a third of her estate. The other two thirds split between my aunt and uncle. We all are to receive equal shares. I was shocked, but I tried to hide it because, again, people get weird, and I kept my feelings about being left a third of it to myself. I was upset about losing grandma and not interested in what papers had to say. Fast forwarding 3 months, we are cleaning out my grandma's house and discussing what to do with certain things. Lots of art, fur coats, jewelry. It was always my stance that my aunt and uncle should take what they want and I can pick through the rest. After all, they're her children and I'm a grandchild. I completely supported that idea and stood back while my aunt and uncle sorted things out. Well, one day my aunt called me and I asked about the silver. Years ago, my grandmother said the silver was mine. Well, my aunt was adamant that it was nowhere in writing that I will get the silver. Okay, fine, not a big deal. But it did make me sad because it once belonged to my great-grandmother and I would have liked to have had it handed down to my daughter one day. Oh, well, I'll get over it. Well, the next day I received an email from my aunt essentially stating that I did not earn any of my third of the inheritance. My aunt asked where I was when my grandmother needed groceries or needed a ride to the doctor. Where was I when her remote control wouldn't work or needed any number of things that elderly people need help with? She also stated in the email that if I wanted the silver, I was welcome to go to the estate sale and buy it. I was heartbroken. I was so sad that this woman whom I looked up to for 40 years would send me such an email, knowing full well where I was when my grandmother needed those things. I was at work. I was raising my child. I was being a wife. My aunt and uncle are fully retired and have much more time on their hands, and she was their mother. I'm the grandchild. My response to her was, I will not participate in this, and we haven't spoken about it since. That was about 7 months ago. I've seen my aunt several times since then, and I pretend that I've forgotten about the email, but I'm still hurt. And I don't know if I will ever view her the same, which makes me really sad. I never felt I earned an inheritance. Nobody earns it. It's a gift and a bonus. It's a symbol of love, and I know my grandmother loves me, and my daughter very much so. And this person added at the end of their email that I am the wife whose husband's ex-wife is the cunt from a previous story and loves the court system. Thanks, guys.
Well, good. I'm glad we've established who this is. Number one, you're probably never going to feel the same about your aunt, exactly. No matter what. But as long as the aunt's not taking you to court on this, and saying you're not going to get a third of the inheritance, I don't know. My opinion would be just to let it lay, because what are you going to do? Unless they come around and say, look, I was, in a bad place. I shouldn't have been saying those things. That was really uncalled for and mean and rude. And I hope you accept my apology. That's really not truly how I feel, but I was in a bad place, which would be totally acceptable. And most of us could go, I get it, been there too, maybe not done the same thing, but I can forgive that. Just make sure you get your third. And if you don't, I don't know. I guess it depends how many feathers you want to ruffle in the family there. But if it's worth it and you already don't have a great relationship with some of these people, I would get my third.
No, absolutely not. And I recall when my grandfather died, he came over to the United States from Romania, and he came over on the White Star Lines, which I don't know if you're a Titanic.
I have a ship tile from the Olympic.
Okay. So you know what the White Star Lines are.
Yeah. I'm a Titanic dork.
Well, me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember looking through some of his stuff. And there was a pile of things in the garbage after his daughters had kind of rifled through everything. Mm-hmm. And I saw this old piece of paper and I went and looked at it, and it was his actual ticket, his boarding pass.
Oh my God.
To whatever ship it was. And I forget, but it said White Star Lines and it had his name on it, and they had thrown it away.
Oh my God.
I grabbed it.
Do you still have it?
I do. It's somewhere in the house. I don't know where it is at the moment. And I'm just sick about it because I know it's here.
Yeah.
I've got to find it. And it's not preserved very well.
I would so want to see that. Oh my goodness. I so want to see that. That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm big on all that. I have a menu from the Olympic. I have literally a floor tile from the Olympic, which were identical to what Titanic had. In fact, if you look at the wreck of Titanic on the bottom of the ocean, the floor tiles are exactly the same as the one I have in my house.
No way.
Yeah. And what happened with that, I know we're off topic here for a second, but a lot of the Olympic is the only one of, there was a Britannic, Titanic, and Olympic. The Britannic and Titanic both sunk. The Olympic was the only one that ever got scrapped after many years of usage. But they a lot of the interiors were taken into various places around the UK. And there was, it's an old shop that ended up putting those tiles down on their floor. And eventually they covered them over with new flooring and new flooring. And then one day people were ripping up the building and they discovered all these tiles and holy shit, they're the ones from Olympic. So wow. I have one of those. Yeah.
Oh my God. Is that cool?
Yeah. It's a neat thing. But yeah, I mean, with this case here, it's, I don't know. I don't know what, it probably just depends on what you see and how the family dynamics go. But it sounds like she's not fighting you to get your third of the inheritance. She's bitter about it.
Yeah, she's very bitter.
Just let her be bitter. You're not going to change your mind. And you are right. You were doing everything you should be doing for your life. It was not your responsibility to go and do those sort of things. No one clearly asked you to do those sort of things. And you probably thought they were handled. This is someone who's going through grief and probably being a little bit greedy and not thinking correctly at the moment. I think there's room for grace and forgiveness once some time passes. Does it need to be rehashed at some point? Probably not. Just see how the relationship continues and get your peace that you're supposed to get.
And I really respect the fact that she responded to the email, "I will not participate in this." Yeah. And I think those are some really powerful words that you recognize what's going on, and I'm not going to play your game.
Yep.
We're done.
Yep. That is some of the best line if you want to shut somebody down, especially a narcissist who's going at you, say that. I will not participate in this. And they don't know what to say. And their head starts spinning. Sometimes soup comes out of their mouth, actually.
I was just going to say that.
Their eyes turn red and then they scream and all sorts of shit. Now, I've been in those situations just like that, where it was so obvious that things were crumbling and they realized that I had figured out their game and I wasn't participating. I wasn't going to say anything mean or bad or lower myself to the level that someone was saying really horrible, mean things to me. I was just like, nope. I'm not going to do that. I mean, to the point where I was being begged to say something bad. And I'm like, I'm not going to do this. No, I will not participate in this because I don't feel that way. So no. And it's scary when you get one of them into a corner like that. And you're not even trying to, you're just saying, I'm not. That's what puts a narcissist in a corner, is telling them you're not going to participate in their shit. It's just backing away. Then they feel cornered. It's kind of crazy.
Well, and I think they you've called them out. Like, they're like, wait, what, huh?
Yep.
You recognize something that I'm doing is weird?
Yep.
Wow. It's a weird moment where if you say that to them, they're just like, I don't, oh shit, you can see right through me.
Yep.
It's powerful.
Yeah. And it plays into their insecurity that they already have, which is why they act out the way that they do. But then somebody's calling them out on the actual insecurity that they've never found a way to get past or develop more productive ways of dealing with humans. So they go to the narcissist level like a child would. And that's very scary to them. So I don't know. I just don't think you need to even go down the road with this. Just give it some time. And hopefully this will kind of iron itself out within your family and it won't be a bigger deal than what it is. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Check out our channel on Apple Podcasts, where you can get the show ad-free, advanced episodes available to you. You can binge away on a whole bunch of other ones if you haven't listened to them yet. And you always get access to those advanced ones in the archive, all ad-free. Apple Podcasts, check out our channel and do the premium subscription there. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.